I will start with my usual opener. And it's that time of the week again. Yes, it's Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club with a difference. With a difference, Laurie, how are you doing?
I'm exhausted, Bob.
Well, you should be. Do you know why? It's been a year that we've been on air and we're having a big celebration. We've got Jackie in the room. How
is
are you, Jackie?
Is it only a year? I'm really looking forward to this.
Do you know what? You've done such an amazing job. 52 weeks we've been on air with this show, and it's growing. The audience is growing, and Portsmouth Authors Collective is growing. Your membership is growing. Your active membership, I don't know if that goes up or down, but your actual, you know, people that contact you, I know that has grown. People that contact us here at the radio station. And then Jackie got involved in this story competition more recently, and that's grown the audience as well. So what I'm saying is congratulations to Portsmouth Authors Collective and all the authors that are involved with that. And thank you all for bringing so many listeners to victory, because it's been immense.
Really, the thanks goes to you, because, you know, you're the one who's given us this opportunity to try and broadcast a little bit about our books and, you know, reach a few more readers.
It certainly would. And I mean, you guys have been growing. I'll tell you how this all started. I don't know if you know, Jackie, but I saw Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club on Facebook over a year ago. Did I email you or did I contact you for either?
I remember that you put a just a little comment up on one of our posts and
get in touch.
Yeah.
So. And it worked. And now look at it. You know, we're here every Thursday and we have this 20-minute segment. We expose. No, that's the wrong word. We'll leave it in though. So no, we highlight a lot of local authors. I know that you've had from your Portsmouth Authors Collective over 40 books published from your members over the last 12
over
months.
Over the last year, yeah.
Which is immense. And I can't read them all out because we would be here all morning. But in September, Pete Adams released his A Choir of Assassins, and I think he's done very well with that. Bryony Best, another serial writer. These are all serial writers so far. Lots of books. She's released A Healing Journey, Healing the Body, Mind and Spirit, and The Girl from Pompey, which has got a lot of acclaim locally. And then there was the follow-up Emergency Drill by Chris Blackwaters, his second thriller. Loads of books. Your own book. I mean, that's done well, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, I haven't followed it up with a sequel.
Well,
but,
how have you had time to do that when you run this?
Well, precisely.
I can't mention everybody, but I'll mention a few that I know that have been in on the show. Fiona Ballard, Patsy Davies, did we have Patsy in?
Yes, she came in a few weeks ago.
And Anya Fox, we haven't had in, the mysterious Anya Fox.
The mysterious Anya.
Gary, okay, we won't go there because we're never going to know, are we? I don't think we will ever know who Anya really is. What we do know is she writes a lot of books.
Yeah, she does.
And gets involved, I must say, she gets involved very actively with...
She's been very supportive. And you know, this is the truth that, you know, even though she is a mystery and none of us have met her as far as we know, she's been very supportive of us and what we do and is always, you know, right there getting on board with things.
Absolutely. And reviewing... other members' books.
She does, yeah, she does.
So we've had travel writer Andy Hanlon in and Gary Files, Caroline Hughes. The list goes on, and I really can't list them all, and I feel really bad about it. But maybe Laurie, over the next few weeks, we'll get to mention some more of these books that have been... But I have just seen Wendy Metcalf, who's been in, Gillian Fernandez-Morton. She came down from London to do an interview. And I think she's got to know more of you guys now, hasn't she?
Yeah, and that's it. You know, we're the Portsmouth Authors Collective, but, you know, really, I kind of made a little bit of a mess when I christened the group. Well, it should have been...
Can someone bring in the towels?
it should have been PAAC, Portsmouth and Area Authors Collective. But yeah, everybody who is part of us is either from or has lived in Portsmouth or has some kind of Portsmouth connections.
Yeah, it's been immense. I mean, the whole thing, I thought when we started this off, I wonder how long this will last. We're a year in and now I think we can start planning the next year. And I'm looking forward to that. We did a 600-word story competition. And Jackie Green, we have to clap our hands for this because... you have got so involved with that. You got so behind it. It's just been immense. And it must have been, I mean, Laurie puts a lot of work in to keep Portsmouth Authors Collective going and all the peripheral activities. But the admin that you've put in for this 600-word Pick of the Pops competition must be immense.
Yeah, my little admin fingers are warm to the bone. I've really enjoyed it. I've absolutely loved every minute of it. And I think initially it was, we wanted to build, we've got a great relationship with the station, and I thought it was another little element that we could add to open the doors to sort of people that maybe haven't written before or that have never entered a competition. And this was one with a little bit of a difference because it was, as you know, themed around a title, a song title. So there was a good connection with Victory.
And it worked well, didn't it? Are we yet allowed to say how many that entered?
Absolutely.
It was Go on
just,
then.
Just under
147 entries. I've been wanting to say it for about 3 weeks. Absolutely gobsmacked.
Yes.
They're not all Portsmouth authors, because you've done a lot of work outside of the area as well, and we must give you praise for doing that and getting them involved, but they're now listeners.
Absolutely, and that was the main thing. It was opening the doors, because Victory's a great station, and I know it's I know it's based in Portsmouth, but your reach goes right across the UK, and we've international. We even had a couple of entries from abroad, America and Australia, which we couldn't accept because we were only taking UK residents this time. We could open it up maybe if we do it again.
What do you mean if?
When? When, Bob?
I think we'll make it an annual competition.
I'll go along with that.
It's been immense. So what happens from here? We've been picking randomly a story every day of the week for the last week and a bit, last week and this week, and then in July we start reading from the top 10 list.
Yes, all the results, we've got a long list and short list now. The judges have worked really hard, because to get 150 down to 10 is a huge task, and I had 10 judges on the panel, and the reason for that is that you've got 10 different eyes looking at stories, and some of them were looked at more than once if they got on the long list and then the short list.
20 eyes, I hope.
Yeah. Okay, Bob. So we needed a big team of judges, and they did a brilliant job. So the results, we're now at the stage where we will be announcing the results on Friday the 28th. That's this Friday. They'll be going up on the Victory website. The long list and the short list will go up, and we will start reading the top 10 stories on Monday. That's the 1st of July. And through to the 12th of July.
I'm looking forward to it. As I said, we have been reading randomly chosen stories, and I haven't heard a bad one yet.
No, the standard was really very good across the board.
Is that usual with a top competition like this?
Well, I mean, you're going to get difference in experience from the writers, and you can see that when you read the stories. So, but we wanted to encourage everybody to have a go. So the experience will vary. But I think the one good thing about entering competitions, it gets you writing, it makes you, importantly, finish a story and get your work out there. As writers, we tend to write in solitary, and some of the work never gets read or seen. So this is a way of getting your work out there, which is important if you're a writer.
I think that's a really good thing to say, and not something I hadn't really thought of. Let me bring Laurie back in. So, Laurie, when Jackie conceived this idea to have a story competition, what were your thoughts, if I may ask?
That this would be a good job for Jackie.
And I understand that. What you listeners at home must get to know is that I think what Laurie's really saying is, I can't take on any more.
No, but I thought it was a fabulous idea, because, you know, like Jackie has said, as writers, we're always looking for ways to stretch ourselves, and competitions are one way of doing that. And they make us write, which is funnily enough, not always very easy for a writer. But yeah, competitions are a great way to try something new, to step outside your comfort zone, and, you know, write a story that you wouldn't have written otherwise.
Can I just ask, I mean, without mentioning any names here, are you aware of how many PAC members would have entered the competition?
No idea. Jackie may have more of an idea, because she's been privy to the names, whereas
because, you know, the judges have seen them anonymously.
And Jackie's been very good about not letting anyone know who those names are. I said, that was a great story you gave me to read the other day. She's not there. And who was it? She said, you're never going to know.
No, no. I mean, the long list will be printed. The long list will be published with all the names, because that's at the point where the judging's finished. You can release all the names. But before that, absolutely not. And I stripped all the personal details off of the stories before they went to judging. The judges didn't know who wrote what, and I didn't read the stories, so that's how you have to manage it, really.
Yeah, this is brilliant. Let me, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll play a song, and then we'll get some of the others in, because who have we got with us? We've got Steve Shepherd, who's one of the story readers. We've also got...
Chris Blackwater.
Yeah.
He's out there.
And Christy. And we'll get them in a minute. Let's play a song. And it's part two of Portsmouth Authors Collective, with a difference, I have to add, because we're celebrating 1 year of being on air. And Laurie Westron, who heads up the Portsmouth Authors Collective, we're going to make all the mistakes today, and we're going to keep them in because it's a bit of fun. It's a celebration.
Indeed.
And got to say, really grateful to Jackie. She's brought Laurie in the biggest chocolate necklace I've ever seen.
That's going to be my breakfast a bit later.
It could be ours. I mean, it's big enough to share. So, yeah, a gold nugget about 6 inches in diameter. My goodness gracious. And what else happened? You brought in a lovely cake as well. Why are you holding your... You can make a noise. What you can't do is get up, isn't it?
No, can't get up again.
You made a cake.
Did you see it? I met with my own hands.
Yeah, it looked like the white... He's not going, because it's tasty. We haven't eaten it yet. She actually bought a cake.
I did. If I made a cake, no one would want it. I'd tell you that. Even the birds don't eat my cakes at home.
Okay. All right, so we've got Steve Shepherd in with us now.
Hello.
Hello, Steve. You've been in a couple of times.
I have. Thank you very much.
Obviously a big supporter of PAC as well as...
I hope so, certainly.
And you've read a couple of stories for us over the...
I have, yes.
And
yes.
I presume Steve will be reading some of the finals as well.
Yes, he will. Yeah, he's got a lovely voice.
Am I? Oh.
What would you say the PAC's done for you over the last 12 months?
From my point of view, it arrived at the right time, because I've only been down in this neck of the woods anyway for shy of 3 years. And so one of the things that I needed to do when I moved down to the area, and frankly, I live in Petersfield, so I'm not in Portsmouth at all anyway. And I remember when I saw this, I think it was on Facebook, probably, to start with, and I contacted Laurie and said, well, actually, I'm not in Portsmouth. Does that matter? And she said, well, I'm from America, so, you know, Petersfield's actually really close. So, yes. So what I've gained from it is meeting lots of new like-minded people. I mean, authors principally, obviously, but also people who read as well, you know, because they come on the back of it. So, you know, I think it's been fantastic, and I can't...
Would you say it's helped gain you traction with sales?
Oh, undoubtedly, yes. I mean, I can compare my... two latest books, as it were, because the second one, which was Bored to Death in the Baltics, came out during COVID, and it's an unshameless plug here, by the way, came out during COVID, but also it came out whilst I was in the process of moving down to Portsmouth, so it had no initial impetus at all. There were no book fairs, there were no events, there was no face-to-face contact with anyone, launches of any kind, because everyone was closed. So, you know, what PAC has done is add probably 50% of initial book-selling opportunities, face-to-face book selling.
It's amazing. I mean, Laurie does a tremendous job, and it's almost relentless effort. And go on.
But I must point out that Steve here is my chauffeur most of the time. So,
oh, you ride the bike. You're on the crossbar.
Yeah.
Steve, bless him. He drives down from Petersfield early in the morning of a market, collects me with my tables and my dozen boxes of books and all the other stuff, and helps me get to markets and set up.
And I think that's the great thing about Portsmouth Authors Collective. It is a collective, and it seems to be very much a collective of like-minded people, as Steve has said, and you all help each other, and that's great.
Yeah.
And as I said in part one of this Portsmouth Authors Collective has been good for Victory, and I hope Victory's been good for Portsmouth Authors Collective.
I think it's been fantastic.
So you actually meet socially with some of the other authors?
Well, only really in terms of the, you know, the speaking volumes and things like that, I guess, because I'm at Portsmouth anyway, so a lot of stuff goes on, I guess, socially in Portsmouth when they can talk about me, because I'm not here, you know, so yeah. I don't know.
Let's bring somebody else in. Who else was going to walk in the door now? Let's have, it's Chris Blackwater. So
I will move.
Thank you. Chris, right. Make yourself comfortable.
All right.
So, yeah, how long have you been involved with PAC?
Oh, pretty much since the beginning, yeah. So it's been great, and thanks, Laurie, for introducing me.
And I just asked Steve whether being a member of PAC has helped sell books for him. Has it for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had a bit of an up and down career with publishers and everything so far, and this has been a sort of a shining light in when things have got a bit sticky. So it's really good.
I suppose one of the other good things is the fact that you can share the good and the bad with each other.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think that is the big thing. It's the people, the experience. I mean, it's such a wide range of experience in the group of, you know, the good things and the bad things that can happen and how to get around them. So that's been amazingly helpful.
I think what is also really nice is the fact that, I mean, I don't know exactly how many members are in the group now. I know when we started this a year ago, I think, Laurie, it was about 60. It's got to be higher than that now.
We've still roughly got about 60 active members.
And
so people
that
are
a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, people that are taking part in the markets, that are joining in conversations, that are promoting one another's books, that are reviewing one another's books. You know, those are the people that I count as being, you know, the real solid members of PAC. And then around that, we have, you know, in our Facebook group, we've got, I think, probably 500 or so people that are...
And that's what's grown, is it?
Yeah, that's right. We've got people from all over that are in that larger Facebook group.
Sorry to interrupt you. A quick whoop-whoop-whoop! Christine Lawrence, how are you?
Hello, Bob. I'm really, really pleased to be here. And congratulations to Laurie, especially, for all you've achieved. Without you, we wouldn't have got this far, honestly. It's been brilliant, absolutely.
It has. And you actually, you've been away for a few weeks, so you've been the lazy one. But
you've got to be joking. My feet have got blisters. I only went for 11 days.
Well, my tongue's got blisters, but that's because I don't stop talking. I've really enjoyed having the PAC moment on my show. And the first week you came in and read a book, and read a passage from a book, and I was like, whoa. I didn't even get the story. I loved the voice. I loved the way it was read, and I wanted to hear more. And that's so important, isn't it? Live reading.
Yes, absolutely. And actually having a chance to be on the radio and read your book or bits of your book and talk about it, I think it's one of the things that we've really gained from.
And that is also one of the things that PAC does, and it encourages live reads in certain events.
Yes, it does, yeah. Jackie and I started running a thing which we call Speak Volumes. We've changed the night several times. We've had different venues because we've been trying
to... Well, because they never have you back twice.
Yeah, quite. That's probably true, yeah. Yeah. At the moment, we're at, what is it, 6 Highland Road?
Yes.
Yeah. A lovely little cafe in Southsea, and we meet there on a Wednesday now. Is it the fourth Wednesday of the month?
I think this coming Wednesday.
I'm sorry, I only got back from a motorbike holiday last night, and I'm still a bit...
She's still got her leathers on.
I'm still aware here.
A few chaffs, I've heard.
Shh, that's a secret between us.
I'm trying to make this a celebration because it is. It's a year that PAC's been going. It's a year that PAC's been on Victory.
I've just been looking in my diary, and I think I've taken part in about 15 of the selling events.
What, do you want a medal?
Yeah. No, that's for Laurie. But she won't share it. Made out of chocolate, obviously.
We have a bite each.
Yeah. How long do you think that's going to last?
What, the chocolate?
Yeah.
What time we finished in here?
Well, nobody's nibbling it yet. So, I think we've probably gone as far as we can. But what I want to do is everybody a big, big hip, hip hooray for Laurie.
Yes.
Hip, hip, hip,
hooray!
Hip, hip,
hooray!
1 year. Pack has been on Victory Radio, and let's hope we get another anniversary this time next year.
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely.
I'm sure we will.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming in.
And
we'll see you all soon. Laurie, you can stay. What's coming up for PAC over the next few weeks?
Well, we've got our usual events, so we're taking a bit of a break from having markets in July. Normally, we would be having one on the first Saturday at Palmerston Road, but I've got a wedding to attend that Saturday.
You're finally doing it.
And so we aren't going to be meeting there in July, but we'll be back from August and carrying on.
Excellent. You've done such a great job. And I know it would be fair to say that anything like this can be exhausting. And you're an author and you're trying to write books and you're ghostwriting somebody else's book.
Oh, yeah. Well, not ghostwriting. I'm editing. Editing somebody else's book, yeah.
So, but that's a long task.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I just said it as if, it's okay. I could do it. It's fine. Laurie, thank you so much for bringing PAC to Victory. It's been a great pleasure. And we always have fun doing it.
We do.
And I want it to keep going.
Absolutely. And again, Bob, I just, thank you from all of us, because I know how much this opportunity is meant to everyone in the group. So really, thank you for allowing us this opportunity.
Absolute pleasure. And I really wish that we could have mentioned every one of your members. We can't do that, but we can pick up some names over the next few weeks. Laurie, have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week.
See you next week, Bob.
Hip, hip, hooray! There is one more thing that we need to do before we go, and that is to play our random read of the day, chosen from those 147 entries of our Pick of the Pop story competition. A random read every day until the end of the month. This one was inspired by the song Modern Love.
Emily was curled up at my feet, sitting in front of the fire, poring over my wedding album. She'd always loved browsing through the old photos. Well, it was different now. Photos could be shared instantaneously with anyone in the world, even in space. There was no sitting around at a wedding reception, waiting for the proofs, ordering the ones you wanted. "You and Dad look so happy," she said, eyes bright and smiling. I hadn't seen her beautiful face looking like that for ages. "We were," I said. I caught an uninvited tear moistening my cheek, quickly bringing up my hand to remove the evidence and fidgeting, hoping she wouldn't notice. It had only been a couple of months, but I wasn't going to emerge from this darkness for a while. Emily had been a rock, but I knew she had her own problems. "Anyway, time for a cup of tea, don't you think?" I said, moving to get up from the sofa. I realised her needs from losing her dad were different from mine, but I couldn't rationalise why she wanted to wallow in photos. Well, that was the last thing I wanted to do. "Yeah, that'd be nice," she said, glancing up, but then resuming her displacement activity. "There, your favourite cupcakes," I said. "Oh, thanks, Mum," she said, looking like the child I knew she wasn't anymore. Adulthood can be so cruel. I was secretly wishing I could take a Peter Pan pill and pass them around to everyone I loved. Now, if someone could invent that. "Any nearer?" I said, daring to open that other conversation. Emily's mood suddenly changed. She looked pensive. "Well, the main paperwork's done. It's just the final signatures," she said. "Oh, lovely cakes. That's my daughter. Changed the subject quickly if she's not comfortable with it. Perhaps that's why these past few weeks have been so painful for her. What with that and losing her dad. Denial is a powerful force. Have you seen it, Ian, recently? No. Okay, I expected that. I could see the acrimonious divorce coming before it even showed its head. The signs had been there for a while. I don't think she wanted to recognise them, but it was a no-brainer in the end. We had simply said we'd support her, whatever she wanted to do. She absent-mindedly picked up her smartphone and swiped like a woman possessed. I picked up my old wedding album and closed it, sighing. I would look at it again, just not now. Emily stared at her phone. I could see a picture of her and Ian on their wedding day. They were an ideal couple, we thought. They looked so happy. They were so happy. Was she regretting all this? Was she having second thoughts? She hovered over the screen, thinking, what? Shall I give it another go? Perhaps I was too hasty? Mum told me I had to work at a marriage. I couldn't tell. With a stab of a finger, before I could say a word, she clicked. And her whole life with Ian, captured in the digital ether, had gone. There, she said with a flourish, her face unreadable. If only it was so easy to delete grief.
Jackie, thank you so much. Wonderful read, wonderful story. Yet another one of our randomly chosen stories from the 147 entries that came in for our Pick of the Pops 600-word competition. And tomorrow we will read the final random one. And then, as of Monday, the 1st of July, we will start reading the top 10. And the top 40 and top 10 list will be published on the website later today.